Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, John Ledyard, along with co-host Trevor Sikkema, who covers the Tampa Bay Bucs for over at pewterreport.com and is giving his time on a short week because the Bucs got the quick turnaround, right, buddy?
They do. Patriots this Thursday. This is probably the most anticipated Bucs game, like no joke, of the last, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, it probably is, to be honest. Like, this is
no, it seriously is deal. Because the Bucks been irrelevant for so long, and now it's like they finally get a couple of games on primetime. They had the one at 4 o'clock last week where they beat the Giants in a thriller, and now they get to take on the team that has cursed them for so long. I think they're like 2-6 against the Patriots since like their Super Bowl ish era, and like a couple of them have just been like the biggest blowouts I've ever seen in my life. So kind of a redemption game for them.
Yeah. Today's episode brought to you by XBet. Check out xbet.ag, the newest and most exciting betting platform on the planet. Trev, we got a lot of college football to talk about, even though the NFL is still fresh, and we went ham yesterday for about 32 minutes on the pod talking NFL prospects, and I feel like we could even get to more rookie performances that we want to make sure we keep updating people on and watching these guys and seeing how our projections played out in the NFL. But college football in the draft prospect cycle of this year has been, to me, just incredibly intriguing because you had so much anticipation, I felt like, for this upcoming class because of the quarterbacks at the top of the class. And we've talked at length about how very few of these guys have lived up to or elevated their stock. I think Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, probably the exceptions there. You could say maybe Luke Falk, and to a degree maybe Mason Rudolph are holding fast kind of as to what we thought of them preseason. Maybe there's been some improvement there. We can talk Mason Rudolph if you want because I closely watched him this past weekend. But Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, it's been very up and down for those guys who a lot of people consider the top three quarterbacks in the upcoming class. Those guys have been really inconsistent, and the talk continues to kind of increase that Sam Darnold might go back to school. As you think about that fact, Sam Darnold could be a top 10 pick going back to school for another year. What's your thoughts on that, on if he were to make that decision, on what that would be like for him?
I mean, just looking at the rest of the quarterback class, it's stupid. the younger you are and the sooner you get in the NFL, the better. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I loved going to UF. I loved being in college. But I was a normal kid. You know, I wasn't about to go make millions of dollars and play in the NFL. The younger that you get in there and the more time that they have their hands on you, the better. Because and I say this saying, like, especially if you're going to be a top 10 pick no matter what. You know, because the argument is, oh, you know, go back to school, hone your craft a little bit better, become more of a prospect. Okay, for what? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. For what? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing all those things might be true, but why are you doing them? You're doing them so that you would become a better prospect, so you would get drafted higher. Well, if you're getting drafted in the top 10 anyways, you're getting serious. You're getting some serious money. And, you know, it's Sam Darnold, so realistically, he's probably going to get drafted top 5. So at that point, the money that you make in between each pick isn't really that much. You're getting the opportunity anyways, so go when you're younger. That's why when a lot of these juniors, you'll hear them get grades, and it's like, oh, well, he got a first-round grade. It's like, and then you'll listen to, say, their college coach chime in, and they'll say, look, man, if you get a first-round grade, go. Just go. Go get the money. You're healthy right now. People think highly of you. They will give you a chance. They will give you multiple chances when you get into the league. All of that could change in a year if you come back and maybe try to get better a little bit but hurt yourself or do something or maybe even like tank your stock or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it is stupid that we're talking about this kind of at the very beginning of October, like who's going to declare and who isn't, as if they don't have basically their entire season left to play out. But I mean, if Sam Darnold is going to go top 10, then you go no matter what, like whether you are ready or not, you go. That's my thought.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. I wouldn't even say mixed, actually. No, I think I would say that I disagree. And not for most players, not for all players, but for this situation and for certain situations, I think I would. Because here's my thing with Sam Darnold. I think that if he goes to the NFL right now, there are enough inconsistencies and bad habits that, yes, he might go high. You know, I don't know where he'll go at this point. You know, I'm sure he would go to first round probably just based on promise and need at the quarterback position and the way he's going to come off with the intangibles and the work ethic. But there is a higher percent chance of him busting if he goes this year than there is if he goes in the future. Now, maybe that doesn't matter to every prospect, but if financial concerns aren't a thing for Sam Darnold, you know, I would go back to school. I would refine your techniques. I would work on the throwing motion. I would get better in a lot. I mean, only a redshirt sophomore, man. Like, I would get better in the significant number of ways that he still needs to improve. And then I think Darnold has a really good chance to be a good pro. But if you go right to the NFL with those inconsistencies, you're not sitting in the NFL. You're just not. It's not going to happen. You're
right.
Not going to sit.
See that. Yeah, we see that too often now. You don't really.
He's
you
getting
really
thrown into the fire and probably on a bad football team. And without being more refined, I think the risk of his career kind of going downhill quicker than it should goes way up. Now, I thought, DeSean Kizer, similar situation, but he didn't go as high in the draft. I thought with more refinement, but the other thing is he wasn't getting that at Notre Dame. That was my biggest thing there. So it was for Darnold at USC,
But is Darnold getting that at USC? Like, was he not better last year?
I don't think he was better. I think he got away with a lot of the same mistakes last year. I think that was the biggest thing.
But
I think
it showed him to be better, correct? And here he is playing another year, and now we're questioning him. Like, if he would have gone out of draft, PFF did this thing, and I don't know who did this. And I bring this up because it still bothers me, so I guess I'm triggered about it. But they did this thing where they did this fantasy draft of any football player in the world at any age, which is kind of cool. I really like the concept. Yeah. But somebody picked Sam Darnold in the first round at within the top 15 over Aaron Donald this summer.
And yeah, it's just silly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Darnold could have left last year, Darnold have been the number two overall pick?
I don't think so. No, we did this with Cardale Jones. Remember when he got hot and for a couple games there for Iowa State?
Yeah, but he didn't declare.
Right. I'm saying, but if he would have, we said, oh, will he be a top 15 pick?
I know, but then right.
I don't
but
think
then,
he would have been.
Right, but then my point is that he went back to school, and then it didn't happen for him. It's hard to sustain. Like, man, I feel like the best aid that you have for prospects is time that you're not playing. Because the longer Patrick Mahomes, and I think Patrick Mahomes is really fun. I like Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But the longer Patrick Mahomes sits behind Alex Smith, the more we're going to forget about the things that he does wrong or that he did wrong or mm-hmm. that might not work in the NFL. And right. we're just going to eventually think of him as this god quarterback prospect in a year if he hasn't played. Because no one's seen his mistakes in that long. And that's kind of – I don't know. It's I just look at the way that Darnold's playing this year and in a vacuum, him coming back. Now, I definitely get your point about the financial thing. If you can stay and if you were in a good situation where you can hone your craft, sure, maybe. But I also kind of think that that's all in a vacuum. And I don't know if it always works out like that, you know?
Darnold going to go soup? And, is he going to be a top five guy if he comes out this year? I don't think he's played bad this year, but –
Yes.
He hasn't played great, man. I don't know.
Also, we're talking about this in October, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We're talking about him declaring in October. Sure, I think the conversation's a lot different in December, you know? So
he clearly played worse than Luke Falk last
yes.
weekend. Clearly.
Yes.
And I think Luke Falk's a mid-round guy at best. I don't think he's just not a great – he doesn't have the great tools, you know? And I don't think Luke Falk even played particularly well in that game, to be honest. But – He was clearly worse. How many times can you look at head-to-head, Matt? If he doesn't win, I think the intangibles will be enticing, but the throwing motion's going to scare people. The accuracy's going to scare people right now, the decision-making. There's a lot of red flags still. Let's say hypothetically they said he'd go top five, though. Hypothetically, go top five.
Okay.
You're saying declare now while you're healthy and get paid, and whatever happens in the league.
No question.
And I guess I'm saying that if you don't need the money, do what's best long-term for your career. If you stay in college and get better and acclimate, you and improve at that level without having to get thrown to the fire and the faster paced, you're going to get tons of pressure on a bad football team, NFL, then take that opportunity if you don't need the money, because if you can grow and be more ready when that NFL opportunity comes, I think your long-term career projection is a lot better. And so I guess it's you the short-term view versus the long-term view. You know, you get paid now and maybe not be as ready for long-term success as you could be. Or if you're okay financially, you know, stick it out in school, continue to get better if it's an environment that you can get better. And I don't think USC is bad for Sam Darnold. Like, I don't think we've seen any – the offense fits him great. You know, I think that what they ask him to do is great for his skill set. I think it gives him an opportunity to potentially, you know, really, really show out down the road, I think, if he can master some of the other inconsistencies. So there is a little element of unknown with the USC and coaching that we still don't know for sure. And the fact that his throwing motion is still a little all over the place, maybe that's not, you know, they haven't enhanced that enough for him, or maybe they haven't improved that, or maybe they don't want to. And maybe Darnold doesn't want to, you know, so there's an element of unknown, but based on what we know.
This can even go beyond, you know, just Sam Darnold. I know we're spending a lot of time on this, but this can go for any prospect. And I think you and I are just on a little bit different wavelengths, and it kind of goes different for positions. I think you and I would be closer to agreeing, like, for, say, like a running back.
Yes,
you know,
pounding,
you know, something like that. But I just think that there's too much unknown with it. You know, if Sam Darnold comes back, and I just think the whole, you know, go back, get better thing, it's just not always as much as a guarantee if we want it to be. So what happens if Sam Darnold comes back for another year and he has another like somewhat mediocre year like we're watching now? Then what do people think of him? Yeah. Then that freshman year that he had, that crazy year where people thought he could be a number one overall pick, all of a sudden that's 3 years in the past and you go, is this guy who he is? So I think – because the NFL draft is definitely a mental game. It's about somewhat – yes, it is about the, you know, the tape we watch and the things that we see at the combine and the stats that we have and the tangible things that we get to see, but it also is a mind game, because at the end of the day, there are still these confusing picks the GMs make. There's these brilliant picks the GMs make, whatever it is, but you have to kind of implant it into their mind where they can envision you at your best. And I just don't think doing anything to take away from possibly allowing a GM to use his imagination of you in the best way hurts you overall within the NFL draft game as we see it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I say that. You know, certainly the concerns that you're talking about with Darnold, they are there and they are real. I'm not taking away those. I'm personally just talking about the mental game that is the NFL draft that a lot of these GMs play, that you always want to try to stack in your advantage, and sometimes that involves using imagination and maybe using a hot streak, you know, a good year, or for Darnold, you know, a good 9 games his first freshman year, using that as much as you possibly can to up your stock, even if you might not be ready, all that kinds of stuff. So there you go. There's my thoughts.
I think at another position, I think I'd really readily agree with that. I just think the NFL puts so much on quarterbacks, and they get thrown to the fire so quickly. And with today's offensive line play and the pressure coming across on the other side, you know, there's just so much for young quarterbacks to have. So if you're not ready, I think things can go downhill quickly, and I don't think Darnold's ready yet. And I'm not convinced that most NFL teams see him as this lock top five pick, but we'll see. There's plenty of time.
There's a lot of time to talk about that
moving forward, too.
But I know, so like Darnold's situation, obviously not something that obviously that's not something that you can love right now, but hey, like something that you can love. The new guys that are sponsoring this podcast as of this morning, xbet.ag. Man, if you were watching that Chiefs game and watching things and thinking that it was going to cover and then it was not, and then all of a sudden the TD at the end, that's what makes gambling fun. Well, it's fun if you win, so it's fun if you get to call it. It makes it a lot better. But man, xbet.ag, their mobile site, just like the other guys, man, you log in, you can bet any game you want right from your phone, super easy. That was a big thing for me for a while. It's just, I was like, I don't feel like going to a computer and logging in and signing up and all this. They make it super easy right from your phone. So you can have all kinds of bets. The website looks really clean. They offer all kinds of stuff, you know, the same in-game betting, all that. So you're watching a game, it's the second half. You know Kareem Hunt's going to get all of his production in the second half. So if the Chiefs are winning a game anytime later in the season and they're winning at halftime, you throw down some money and let them control the game, and you can let Kareem Hunt second half win you some money there if you head over to xbet.ag. So the promo code for those guys, if you head over there from listening to this podcast, is just xbet. X-B-E-T is a promo code you can have. They'll give you the same thing, 100% bonus for your first deposit. So whatever you put in, they'll match it for you. Plus, if you refer a friend, wink, wink, John, just accept the dang friend request that I sent you. They'll give you another 100% on your first deposit. So there you go, man. Head over to xbet.ag if you're going to do any gambling, because, you know, we're all degenerates. We're all just trying to make a little money and live more stressful lives. So code xbet, X-B-E-T, head over to xbet.ag start winning some money. There you go.
Well said. Well said. At what point, I know we've talked about the running back position so much in college football, but dude, I don't know what to even do to give due diligence to what Bryce Love is doing. He has over 1,000 yards in five games. And they're not playing like they played Rice week one. Okay. Then they played USC. They lost to USC. They lost to San Diego State. I know UCLA's defense is bad, but like, we're still talking about a Pac-12 opponent here. Like, and then Arizona State.
You still have to run the ball.
Yeah, like, this is insane. He is, and the offensive line deserves a ton of credit as well, but this is ridiculous. 98 carries for 1,088 yards. I mean, he is well over he's like 260 yards higher than the next closest player in college football, who's Rashad Penny from San Diego State, who is then almost 200 yards higher than the next closest person. So the difference between the first and third place rushers right now in college football is over 400 yards in Bryce Love's advantage over Jeffrey Wilson from North Texas, who is third in the nation right now in rushing yards. I mean, it's not even fair what he's doing right now. Like, we're about to witness one of the best seasons in college football history ever if he stays healthy.
Yeah. You and I were talking last night, and we saw this little video talking about, like, who's the next Kareem Hunt. And the way that it was kind of like – the way that it was kind of brought up was like, oh, who's going to be the third-round pick who's going to act like a first-round pick? And it's like, okay, well, if you're talking about him now, then why is he going to be a third-round pick?
Stupidest idea ever. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
But I will just say this. You know, I haven't watched a ton of Bryce Love because it is, you know, on the West Coast. I don't get to watch a lot of those games, but I have seen bits and pieces of some of his games that I've watched. And the thing that I love so much about Kareem Hunt that is obviously translatable from his game from college to the NFL is the balance that he has. And that's allowed him to get all kinds of yards after contact in the NFL, break all these tackles, things like that. Kareem Hunt was built stronger than Bryce Love, but boy, that balance. I see that with Bryce Love. And that's the thing, man. You're not going to hear me make a case for Bryce Love being better than Saquon Barkley or Darius Geis, as I've seen some people tweet.
People love those snap reactions, don't they?
ignorantly. But I will just say that, man, like, he's bouncing off tackles. He can stay on his feet. He's got a little bit of burst to him, and that was the thing about Kareem Hunt, right? Not the most athletic guy in the world, not going to be a blazer, but when you have that balance, when you have that ability to have such a great center of gravity, that allows you to be a great running back, I think, at all levels of the game. And so I, you know, as much as you and I killed it last night when we were talking in the DM about the next Kareem Hunt, I see that strength of Kareem Hunt, that trait that has been so translatable. I see a little bit of that in Bryce Love, though.
Kareem Hunt is incredible, by the way. I'm blown away when I watch him. I can't. I think he's definitely better than he was in college. And he is good in college, obviously, but this is insane what he's done. He's really blowing my mind with some of his runs. Because not only is there great blocking and he's finding it, but he's also creating for himself outside of structure. And he's doing both at an incredibly high degree right now. So really couldn't be more impressed with him. Let's switch to the defensive side of the ball real quick before we wrap up, because there's a player we haven't touched on yet. I think Roquan Smith from Georgia. How do you say that? How do you say his name?
Roquan, isn't it?
Roquan. Is it Roquan Smith?
I think so.
He's taken the fight to people. He's been an absolute beast so far this season. He's a guy we're going to have to talk about more moving forward, I think, because he has the skill set, athleticism, physicality, all of the kind of intangibles that are the tangibles that you want at the linebacker position to really be a good one in the NFL.
Georgia's good, man. Georgia's deep. Flying, and he is a big part of that. You know, him and Lorenzo Carter, those two dudes, they're going crazy for Georgia. So I'm definitely with you. He is popping up big time, Roquan Smith.
Yeah. A lot of college players on the radar that we'll have to talk about as the week moves on, and we will, as always, on Locked On NFL Draft. This episode was brought to you by xbet.ag, the newest and most exciting betting platform on the planet. Make sure you check out xbet.ag for all your betting needs this upcoming week. We'll be back tomorrow with more on Locked On NFL Draft. Until then, keep it locked right here.